Why is this the moment for Facebook to go public?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, turning economists into groundhogs. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are mixed at the open this morning. The Dow down 13 points or 0.1% at 12,702. The NASDAQ down about 0.1%. S&P 500 basically flat right now. The government said this morning that the number of people applying for unemployment benefits fell last week to 367,000. But productivity was up at the end of last year, which means workers are working even harder. Now let's get to Facebook, which filed late yesterday its plans to sell stock to the public, probably sometime in May. Analysts have been waiting for months, maybe even years, for this announcement. So why did it happen now? Diane Swonk is chief economist with Mesirow Financial. She's with us live from Chicago, as she is every Thursday. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So why is now the moment for a company like Facebook to decide to go public?
Well, a lot of IPOs were waiting on the sidelines for the market to do better, and in fact, January was a very robust month for market gains, and so it gives an opportunity to sort of ride that wave and try to get the best pricing you can.
And what is it about a strong market that makes it good for a company to decide to go public?
Well, of course, they want to get as much money as they possibly can, and they get better valued in a market where people are moving in to make riskier bets on the future. IPOs are those kind of bets. You're betting on a company that's just brand new, higher chance of failure, but also could have much higher returns for anyone who's trying to get some returns out there.
Now, you focus a lot on the Federal Reserve, which has been trying to reduce interest rates and therefore, in some ways, get people to get off the sidelines and into the marketplace. Is this happening? Is the Fed's dream coming true?
Well, this is part of the Fed's dream. I mean, they'd like to see a lot more market activity. Much of the magic of the 1990s boom in employment was driven by small businesses, IPOs, and new business formation. Of course, a lot of that wasn't sustainable. But the idea is to get people from making non-productive investments, holding on to cash, and getting them into making more productive, riskier investments in the future. So some of this is happening, investing in equities, investing in high-yield bonds. That movement has begun to occur as the Fed has taken the action. It is. So this is the direction the Fed wants to move, just not fast as they'd like to see it occur.
Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, agents committed to small business success. 1-866-200-4BIZ. We are insurance. We are farmers.
With just 2 days to go until the Nevada Republican caucus, let's continue our Marketplace election series, The Real Economy, with the story of a state that is essentially the economic opposite of Nevada. It's a state that relies on farming, and with high crop prices, its citizens have a lot of money to spend right now. Marketplace's David Gura takes us now to the economic bright spot that is Nebraska.
Tom Joyce caters to some pretty high-end clients.
I tell our salesmen we're dealing with millionaires every day, and you make sure you treat them well. I mean, like you're the maitre d' of a nice restaurant.
Joyce manages the Plains Equipment Group. It's a John Deere dealership just off I-80. Each piece of merchandise he sells, a new tractor, a new combine, costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. Think of it this way.
These guys buy Lamborghinis and Ferraris every year. They'll buy a $250,000 machine that they'll use for 6 weeks of the year.
Now we're looking at a 16-row John Deere planter.
Mark Jagels keeps one of those forest green farm Ferraris in his equipment shed. He grows corn and soybeans in Davenport, Nebraska, about 80 miles away.
Quiet. It is totally quiet. And I mean, we're sitting there probably half throttle, and you don't hardly hear anything.
The tractor's Bluetooth-enabled with satellite radio and air conditioning. It's computerized with GPS.
the monitor here, that is everything from our guidance and controls the planter and everything right there.
In the winter, Jagels programs the system with his laptop. He tells it what to plant and where, how much fertilizer goes on a line of crops. Then, in the springtime,
I find that field, I bring up that line, boom, it's right there. You should never be off more than 1 or 2 inches as you're driving through the field.
Jagels says farming isn't as physical as it used to be. It requires less labor. Today, a tractor like this one can pretty much drive itself.
I can flip the steering wheel up, I can sit here, I can answer emails, I can do whatever I want to.
And according to Jagels, there's a lot less waste. In the kitchen, he shows me a printout with data from the tractor.
Planted soybeans, the average rate was 169,390 seeds per acre. It gives me the total seeds applied and the total acres that I planted.
And that kind of information, Jagels says, that efficiency is worth every penny. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, it's Groundhog Day.
Then put your little hand in mine.
Remember this song from the movie? Well, Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow this morning, which means 6 more weeks of winter, or whatever this nationwide heat wave is. Here at Marketplace, we thought we'd ask some economic experts what they're expecting for the next 6 weeks. Here's Tara Sinclair at the George Washington University.
I don't know as a groundhog if I'm going to see my economic shadow, because I need to know what's going on with Europe and if it's a cloud over our sky or not.
All right, that's one prediction. Let's get another one from Jack Ablin with Harris Private Bank.
Poking my head out of my burrow here, I think that things are looking to improve. What we're looking at is a situation in Europe that's not deteriorating. It's really just staying sideways. And the longer the news stays sideways, the more insulated I think we all become.
You can send us your economic predictions. Just go to marketplace.org and click on the groundhog. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's a funny thing, but in Las Vegas, the number of foreclosures and the price of a college degree move together.
It just seems so hard to imagine that, because it's like it just keeps going up and up and up and up and up.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. The state of things through the eyes of college students. It's the real economy. Our election coverage next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.